psychologists tell us one of the most common problems that often haunts people throughout their life and even on into their old age. The very people that they should love the most are the ones they hate the most. And the first case, it resulted in the first murder between Cain and Abel. Let's read in Genesis chapter 4 and start at verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said to him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. The New Testament tells us, ask the question, wherefore slew he him? Speaking of Cain, who slew Abel his brother. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. It doesn't give us in this passage a lot of the history of their life, but apparently there's more to this story than just what we find here in Genesis 4. And the New Testament gives us a little insight into that when it says Cain's works were evil. And that's why, I know there's a lot of speculation on the, it wasn't a blood sacrifice, but there were a lot of, in the law, there were a lot of sacrifices that, the bread offerings that came from the ground, as well as the blood sacrifices. Cain was an evil man, and it said the Lord had not respect unto his offering. And God asked him, verse 7, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Well, that gives us an insight right there. Respect, you see, every good and mature and adult healthy relationship, it's based on mutual respect. God was saying to Cain, you don't respect me, and you haven't respected me, and your works have been evil, and now you come with an offering? I don't respect you either. Didn't Jesus say if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has aught against you, you've done somebody wrong, you haven't made it right, he said, go and first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift, and then God will accept your gift. Now, if I could speculate a little bit, Cain being the oldest brother and the firstborn, what usually happens is they pick on the younger ones, bully them, and mistreat them, and oftentimes are jealous and envious of them because the firstborn is the center of attention for the whole family until the next one comes along. And so I just have to believe that envy had a lot to do with this. And even the envy that God is blessing Abel and he's accepting his offering. And so he got let that envy and the unforgiveness and the bitterness that went along with it build and build in his life. But God gave him, even in his rage. You know, any time we are very wroth, as it says in verse 5, we need to spend some time doing some serious self-examination. We need to say, why am I so angry? Or any time we overreact to something that's really minor or a little thing, we need to say, why am I reacting so strongly to this little thing? Well, the reason is there's a deeper root there we need to examine and get rid of. And a lot of times it's a root of envy and bitterness, because I believe it was here. And so he was so angry. The very person that he should have loved most, his brother, is the one he ended up killing. And I thought, while reading this, of David and Ahithophel, the very one of the men that David loved most in the world. Ahithophel said, he said he was my guide. He went to Ahithophel for counsel. Ahithophel was considered the wisest man in Israel of that day. And he spoke as the oracle of God. You wanted to hear what God had to say, you went and talked to Ahithophel. And he said, it was not an enemy that reproached me. David said, I could have borne that, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. What happened there between Ahithophel? Well, they say that he was a relative of Bathsheba. Wasn't he Bathsheba's grandfather? There was a relationship there, and uncle. And apparently he never forgave David for what he did to Uriah, and how he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and that sin. And they speculate that bitterness and unforgiveness build up over time, and finally had the fruit that he plotted with Absalom, David's son, against David, and joined with the insurrection to overthrow David. And David was hurt by that, maybe about as much, I suppose, as anything in his life that hurt him. It's when your friends and those that you think, you have no idea what's going on under the surface, that they're holding things against you. And he turned on him. Well, let's look at the next case of sibling rivalry. Genesis has just got a lot of these incidents. And that's the case, in this case, it was twins, Jacob and Esau. It's interesting that we say it like that, you know, Jacob and Esau, because Esau was the oldest. Seems like you would always say Esau and Jacob, but somehow Esau and Jacob just doesn't sound right, because even in the womb, God said, the elder is going to serve the younger. in this case. And that's just the opposite of what was normally expected. The elder had the blessing of the firstborn, had the birthright. He got a double portion of the inheritance. And Esau, though, he despised his birthright. And he lost it. You know, you can have something very precious. And if you do have, I want to tell you something. The devil's after it. He hates you for it. He cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I'll tell you something else. There's probably somebody else who wants that very precious thing that you have. And if it's not precious to you, you'll lose it. Somebody else will take it. And that's what happened in the case of Esau and Jacob. Well, human nature, I'll tell you, the carnal nature of man is that that which comes to us easily and naturally, we tend to not value so much as those who have to work very hard to get it. Well, it's like this. I knew a young man that his father was wealthy and gave him a new sports car. I don't know if it was just for his 16th birthday or his graduation or some reason. And you know that young man that got that so easily, he despised, he mistreated that car and abused it and raced it and tore it up. Whereas other young people whose parents couldn't afford to do that, who had to work for what they got, they treated it with a whole lot more respect. But it's like that about anything. And, you know, if you're born to wealth, often those that are born to wealth, they don't care as much about wealth as those who want to be wealthy. Those who are born with beauty, natural beauty, they don't care as much about it as those who don't have it, but they want it. And they work real hard and fix themselves in order to obtain it. That's just something about human nature. Easy come, easy go is the expression. You got it easy and natural. And a lot of times it's because if you've had it all your life, it's no big deal to you. And that seems to be the way it was with Jacob and Esau. Jacob wanted it. He didn't have it. It wasn't his by right. But he plotted and schemed, and he wanted to have it. And he finally got it. In Genesis chapter 27 and verse 30, it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, he also didn't have the blessing of the firstborn. And so Jacob deceived his father and got the blessing. And Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat, and he brought it to his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. These words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. She sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, thy brother, to Haran. Well, here, Esau hated Jacob, verse 41, because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Well, I take that. I suppose you can interpret it two different ways. The blessing that Jacob gave to Esau was, part of it was, you're going to serve your brother. And man, he hated that idea of serving his brother. Well, he could have responded with a Christian response. Jesus later on would say, you want to be great? Be the servant of all. He could have said, well, God, if I'm going to serve my brother, make me the best servant that I can be. And make me a blessing. Really, the greatest blessings we give to people are by serving them, even if it's just praying for them. That's a way of serving them and blessing them. But he hated that idea. He's going to be over me, and I'm going to have to serve under him. Even in that blessing, he said, you're going to break his yoke from off thy neck, in verse 40. So he did promise him he would have to serve, but there'd come a time when the yoke of servitude would be broken. Again, we see the envy of this brother led him to say, I'm going to kill my brother as soon as my father dies. As soon as the opportunity's right, I'm laying for him. I hate him. And isn't it interesting? He first started out hating his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. And the birthright and the blessing that went with it, those were all gifts of God. See, you may start out hating what God gives you in this life and the blessings that God gives you in this life, but you'll end up hating a person and wanting to kill them if you let that come to its full fruition. And furthermore, it tells us over again in Scripture that God hated Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God rejected him. You reject the gift of God and the blessing of God and the birthright of God, and there's going to come a time when God's going to reject you, and you're not going to be fit for the purpose. And really, that's what he was doing here. He's saying, you're not fit to rule Esau. Jacob is, and he's going to rule over you. And so Esau hated Jacob. Why? Because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. His blessing was inferior. It's very similar to the story of Cain and Abel. He was rejected. And again, it tells us that he was a fornicator. The New Testament tells us that Esau was. His works were evil. A lot of times we just look at, I've said this before, but it bears repeating. We just look at the story. But let me tell you, I believe that these decisions, the decision that Esau made, even when he sold his birthright, it was not just a one-time decision. It was a result of a whole lot of decisions he had made growing up in his life from a child. It's the same way I've said about when they asked Rebecca, will you go with this man to marry Isaac? She said, I will go. And the decision she made when she saw the stranger come, the servant of Abraham, all the camels and everything, and she said, I'll draw water for you. I'll do all the, and which was hundreds of gallons of water to water all those camels and him and the people that were with him. The hospitality, the diligence that she showed, she did not act out of character. It was, she had character, because all through her early life, she had made the right decisions. Most all of us, when it comes to the big decisions in life, we want to make the right decisions. You know. But are we willing day by day to make the right decision? To commune with God every day, to have a secret place of prayer, to love God and love wisdom and love His Word. Make those little daily decisions right, and when the big decisions come, you'll just do what comes natural, and you'll naturally make the right decision. But so many, they want to be lazy and foolish day by day, and then they wonder, well, how did I end up married to this devil? You know, they made the wrong big decision because they had made the wrong small decisions day by day by day. And so it was with these brothers. Well, let's turn on over to Genesis chapter 29, and we'll start at verse 31. And when the Lord saw, these are sisters that are at rivalry, Rachel and Leah. Leah the older, and then Rachel the younger. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. She conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, He hath therefore given me this son also. She called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. She conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left bearing. Then in chapter 30, Rachel reacts to this. I've read, and perhaps some of you have, they said all the philosophers and wise men, they don't know what to do about unrequited love. Well, the Scripture gives us some insight even in these words. What do you do when you're like Leah? You're the firstborn, and you're righteous. She was. And she was chosen of God. There's no doubt about that, because she had Levi, from which came the priestly line, and Moses and Aaron, they all came from Leah. And she had Judah, from whom came David and Solomon and Christ. She was a God-blessed woman and a righteous woman. And I believe that, you can make the case very strongly, it was God's will for Jacob and Leah to be married to each other, because look at her descendants, as I've just said. It was in Leah that all nations of the earth were blessed and are still blessed. But yet, her love was unrequited. Her love that she had for Jacob, her husband, said he hated her, and he loved Rachel. And he did it for very shallow and superficial reasons, as most people do, because Rachel was better looking than Leah. So what do you do about unrequited love? Do you just get bitter and turn sour and hateful? No, you look to where really the greatest blessings always come from God anyway. They don't come from man or woman or romantic love. That's a lie of the world and of the devil. That's not where the greatest blessing comes from. What if your love's unreturned? Well, you just let God make you fruitful anyway, wherever you're at. And that's what Leah, you see, God will compensate you and bless you for your unrequited love. And that's what he did with Leah. It actually tells us when God saw that Leah was hated. Well, who made Leah plain or less beautiful anyway than Rachel? Who did that anyway? God did. Don't you suppose that was part of his design on purpose? So that she would not be... And he knew what Jacob... He knew what men despise you because you're righteous. I'll tell you why a lot of young people are despised in this day. You know, if a young person is just knowledgeable, they'll be hated. They say, especially in the black community, if a young black boy is really smart and does really well in school, they will persecute him and hate, and they'll say, you're an Uncle Tom and you want to be white, and what are you trying to do? And they hate him. Well, then they talk about in the scripture, they hated knowledge. And if a person hates knowledge, they also hate the knowledgeable. Amen. And so don't get all bitter. Well, Christ was despised and rejected of men. And when they saw him, it said, there was no beauty that they should desire him. They despised and rejected him. But the thing to do is not let people destroy you or get you down, but say, God, the ultimate blessings, they all rest in your hands anyway. And a matter of fact, God gives extra grace to us, and he'll give extra fruitfulness to us, even in a spiritual sense, if we are despised, either for something we can't help, maybe our, in this case, her looks. If we're despised because of our looks, which God gave us, he'll give us extra grace and extra revelation. I even believe that was true of the Apostle Paul. He said, my bodily presence was weak and my speech contemptible. But he commended one church because he said, you bore with me in my infirmity. He said, you were more spiritual than what most folks were. And you didn't look at this little run of a man and despise me because I was so short and my bodily presence was so weak and my speech was rude. Another place he said his speech was rude and contemptible. He said, you didn't despise me for those reasons. Because he was used to being rejected. It's true. If you're short, fat and ugly, you get used to being rejected by people for those reasons. Or in this day and time, if you're just intelligent and knowledgeable, well, then people will say you're a know-it-all, and they're going to hate you for that. Or if you're even good and righteous. We live in a world that's the despisers of those that are good. They'll hate you for that. But don't worry about it. Go to God like Leah did. Say, God, you compensate me for the hatred of men and for the rejection of men. And God said, when he saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. He said, I'm going to compensate you with a special blessing. And so he blessed her with Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah. And those sons were going to accomplish more than all the other eight sons and daughter, the one daughter of Jacob, were going to accomplish. Matter of fact, it's interesting to read that when Rachel reacted to this in chapter 30, let's see what happened. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? She said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, and that I may also have children by her. She gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. And what's interesting about Dan was the tribe of Dan, which came from this man Dan, who was a result of the envy of Rachel for Leah. Dan brought judgment upon Israel because Dan introduced idolatry, northernmost tribe, and introduced idolatry into Israel and caused Israel to backslide. As a matter of fact, when you read over in the book of Revelation, the 12,000 that are sealed from each tribe, you won't find the tribe of Dan mentioned anywhere. It's as though they were wiped out for their iniquity. They caused trouble for Israel. Well, it was a result of the envy, again, of Rachel for her sister, because her sister was blessed before God. See, Rachel had the blessing of man. She had the blessing of her husband and the love and attention and affection of her husband. But Leah had something far better than all of those things. So let me just say, romantic love is highly overrated anyway. Better than that is to have the blessing of God on your life. Because the blessing of God doesn't depend on your looks or your wealth or any of those things. It depends on your character and on your heart condition before God. And that's what Leah had, those things. And she was the woman of much greater destiny and destined for greatness more so than her beautiful younger sister. Well, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 37, some more sibling rivalry. These are the generation of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. And that word hatred, isn't it interesting that it's found time and time again in the Scripture, and it's dealing with brothers and sisters, those who ought to be closest to one another. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And then on top of all that he was the father's favorite, the son of the old age, Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, made obeisance to my sheep." They bowed down to his sheep. And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, told his brethren. Said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." He told it his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and my brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. Keep seeing that word time and time again. Envy. But his father observed the saying. Oh, time and time again I've seen in my own life when someone attacks me viciously, or when I overreact to someone, you trace it down, you get to that word, envy. It's the worst of all. Matter of fact, it's what's destroying America, class envy. Even Solomon the wise man said, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who can stand before envy? Envy is the worst of all. And I believe one reason it is so bad is because it's people who do that, they have a false concept of God. Their relationship with God is not really close, and it's not right, because if God is the closest relationship you have, and it's what matters most to you, then you realize, hey, my blessing, it's not dependent on my brother, what he has or what he doesn't have. I get my blessing from God, and it's before Him I stand or fall, and I don't have to worry about who's ruling over me, because God is my king. Amen. You know, they delivered Jesus for envy's sake. They envied Him because the multitudes followed after Him. Oh, you got to learn to recognize that green-eyed monster and pull it out by the roots if envy is causing you to hate your brother or sister. Amen.